Welcome back to the Rat Chat. In this episode, we'll be honoring the memory of Mr. Smith, our VGS teacher. First, for an introduction by Keely and Jean.
This is a mini episode of the Rat Chat podcast in honor of Mr. Stephen Smith. Over winter break, Mr. Smith unfortunately passed away. So, to honor his memory, we have collected some stories and statements to...
I've been so close to crying all day, this is not helping.
So I had Mr. Smith for two years. I had him once for chemistry and once for ACR.
In his chemistry class, one of my fondest memories is... One time we were doing this experiment where he put something on your hand and then he set your hand on fire. And it was so much fun and there was so much trust and just atmosphere going on. He was such a good teacher in the sense that he really built a community in his classroom.
Mr. Smith loved to blow things up.
He did.
The hallmark of every student's RVGS career, I feel, is Demo Day.
For sure.
He spent so much time preparing for that. Remember the balloons, those were so loud. Like, you could literally feel the air. And I think my favorite thing was when he blew up a little Mountain Dew bottle, and whoever found it got extra credit.
Yeah, and I remember one time he popped off a ceiling tile on accident.
I do remember that. Wasn't that, there's a stain from where he put, like, I don't know, it wasn't Mentos, but it was like Mentos on drugs or something.
Yeah,
so crazy. Or on steroids. And I went so far up that I hit the tile. I'm sure that wasn't fun to clean up. But I, in my ACR class, I did a microbiology thing. And he wasn't really a microbiology expert. But he was still so willing to help. And he really did want me to succeed. And I remember he would always say, oh, go ask Mr. Browning or go ask Mrs. Boland. If he didn't know... And he, remember one time I needed to speed up my project because I was running out of time and I didn't have proper results. And he came in on a weekend and opened the school to students. He and my mom had a conversation. Very nice. And he was very dedicated to his students.
Yeah, and I saw him. He always was there to help. I remember walking into his elective class, and there's like a line of 10 students waiting to talk to him. Definitely a dedicated teacher. Yeah.
He was. I remember right after project form, I was a little upset because I had spent so much time on my project. But a lot of time, and then the people who had won were the two people next to me, and then my friends. And I was like, oh, that feels like the universe hates me. And I got like a creativity award, and I said, oh, but I didn't win. And he's like, well, that's not for lack of trying. That's what he said. And it made me feel very comforted, you know. He cared about you. He cared about you as a student. He saw you. He knew how hard you were working.
Definitely. Yeah.
It is safe to say that losing Mr. Smith has been hard on a lot of people. He was such a value to the school. He's been teaching here for a long time. My history teacher had him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's been teaching here for a long time.
Yeah.
And he will be very missed.
Yep. He'll always be in my heart as the Mountain Dew King.
The Mountain Dew King. Yeah. Gotta have the orange juice.
Now for an interview of Mr. Wages.
Hello, Mr. Wages. So this is obviously... in honor of Mr. Smith, so I do have like one or two questions. Just, I'm guessing you met Mr. Smith here when you started working here. How long did you and him work here together?
Yes, I've been here for 9 years. So I've known him for 9 years.
Okay, what was sort of your first impression of him?
My first impression of Steve was just that, I guess, you know, he was just very stoic and he was very, you know, quiet, but then as you got to know him, you know, he would crack his little puns. Yeah. And then because I think the connection that I felt with him was we were kind of the older crowd. You know, Laura Rourke was part of the older crowd, and she retired, and then it was just Steve and I, And he has some years on me, but we're still the same kind of generation. So we had some things that we could share and commiserate about and talk about. Big bushy hair.
His afro.
Yeah.
The infamous afro.
Didn't he show you that picture? I think he usually shows his class that picture of his.
He showed the prom one.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, the prom one. So he shared that with me.
So, of course, we asked you here, what was sort of like your favorite trait, actually, real quick?
His favorite trait? Like I said, he'd come up with a pun or something to tell. And as some of you that have my class, I like to tell jokes as well. So on Fridays, ever so often, if I had a good joke, I go down and tell Steve that joke, and so we shared that.
Yeah, Mr. Smith's sense of humor was amazing.
Yeah, but the other trait that he had, he was very conscientious. He was also very helpful. You know, if you reached out to him, like with Algebra 2, we always had these labs, and we had to have chemicals mixed. And
I
would go down and say, hey, I need this. He goes, send me an email, and you send an email, and then, it'd be done. You did not have to worry about, go on and remind him and stuff, but he was always conscientious about that.
That's amazing. That sounds exactly like him. So I guess we kind of asked you here, what's, a story that you have that you remember makes you and embodies him?
Ooh, that's kind of hard. I don't know, like I said, with the helpfulness, always being helpful, that to me, that always embodied him. And that for Algebra 2, and here we are, math teachers, and having to do chemistry kind of things, reaching out to him, and he said no problem and did it. He would come in early. He was also one of the people that would be here early. I'm usually early riser and be here early, but he would sometimes meet me here. And because he was so conscientious about his students, that he was always preparing for those labs. There was a lot of preparation, so I have a lot of respect for all the work he had to do in order to be a high quality teacher, because he would take the time to do that.
Right, in those labs, he always seemed so excited to be teaching his students and stuff. He was so encouraging to us.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you would ask him about those labs, and you start talking about them.
For sure. Yeah, it was a really great aspect that he was, passionate about what he was teaching. All right, Mr. Wages, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate that. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about Mr. Smith that you want to commemorate or keep memory of for other people?
Yeah, there were two things that when I think about him, that I always remember is that we both shared a passion for barbecue.
Oh, goodness.
So, we could always talk about barbecue and, where can you get it and where's the best place and that kind of thing. So I always remember that. And the other thing that is kind of nothing big or anything, but it was just that I think my first year of doing Project Forum, we're getting ready the morning of, and we're over here at the Gov School prior to going over there, and he walks down to me and goes, hey, Don, do you know how to tie a tie? And so it kind of became a thing pretty much, I don't know if it was every year, but pretty much every year he'd come down and go, hey, I need you to help me with this tie again, because he never really tied his own ties very often. So it was just a skill he didn't know.
Mr. Browning talked about that. I remember he popped into your head one day and went, can you tie a tie?
Yeah. So those are the kind of other things that I'll remember about him.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now for an interview with Mr. Browning.
We are here once again with another interview with Mr. Browning for an honor of Mr. Smith. We do have just one or two questions, just get it out of the way. How long have you known Mr. Smith?
I was in my eighth year teaching here at Gov School. He always made a point to speak to me almost every single day. His go-to question was, are you having fun yet? Which was always his way of just checking in.
Okay. What was sort of your first impression of him?
There was never a short conversation with Steve Smith, was my first impression of him, which as I got to know him over time was really just, he would just always give space to really see how you were doing. The normal salutation of, I'm fine, how are you doing, really wasn't going to work with him. He really wanted to care for the people that he worked with and the students that he worked with as well. So at first, and you might have been annoyed by his long conversations, but over time you realized that it was because he was giving space for his love for his people.
So you said you had like a couple jokes that you wanted to bring in.
I did. One way that he always would care for you and care for the whole person was to just make sure that you had a chance to laugh every day. And so, I had I tried to remember his two favorite jokes that he would tell last night in preparation for today. These may not be the funniest jokes in the world. My kids, when I was prepping for this last night, found them to be funny. Mm-hmm. So maybe indeed they are. So are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. These are sort of participatory, which is how Steve Smith always did things. He was a true showman at heart. So I've got two jokes. Here's the first one. In honor of Steve. Steve was very, very, very dramatic in telling all these, so you really can't get all the hand gestures over the podcast, but I will do my best to make him proud. So the first one goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a man who wanted to build a house. He was a bit of a peculiar man, and he wanted to calculate exactly how many bricks he would need to build the home, which was going to include bricking the chimney, bricking the entire house, the sidewalk around, the garden area, and even a little bench in the yard, everything made out of bricks. It took the man several weeks, if not months, but he eventually finished everything that he intended to brick, even the little bench, all made out of bricks. It turns out that his calculations were fairly accurate, as he had only one brick left at the end of all of that construction. But like I said, the man was a bit peculiar, and in his frustration by his so-called miscalculation, can you imagine what he did with that last brick? He threw it way up into the air.
Oh no.
And that's the entire punchline. That's it. That was the end of his joke. He would just throw his hands up in the air and expect you to laugh.
And it's funny and it works.
Great. All right, I've got one more.
Okay.
All right. This is for you, Steve. A guy was riding on a plane, and he decided to smoke a cigar, which I know is very strange. Unfortunately, he was sitting next to a woman that had a dog on the plane, which is also very strange. And of course, the dog somehow began coughing because of the cigar. And the lady said to the man, "Excuse me, sir, but could you please put out that cigar? It's really bothering my dog, my darling Phoebe." And he replied, a bit perturbed, of course, "No, I will not. You shouldn't have a dog on the flight anyways." The woman said, "This is a non-smoking flight, sir. You need to put that cigar out." And they argue back and forth, get rid of the dog, put out the cigar, get rid of the dog, put out the cigar, and so on and so forth. And finally, the man said, "Look, let's compromise. If you get rid of your dog, I'll get rid of my cigar." He secretly thought, she never would give up the dog, but much to his surprise, she agreed to the deal. So, the lady opened the window, amazingly, without causing any pressure change inside of the plane. This is just an amazing story. Cigars, dogs on planes, and no pressure changes when you open the windows. And when she opened the window, she threw poor Phoebe out of the plane.
No.
The man, thinking that he had another cigar anyways in his pocket, just decided, hey, I'll throw my cigar out the window. Thinking that he had one, and he would just light up another one once they closed the window and everything became normal again. However, the woman suddenly reached out the window and grabbed her dog's leash. And as she pulled the dog back in, she thought that she had won as she retrieved her precious Phoebe. Once she got the dog back into the plane, she noticed that little Phoebe had something in her mouth. Can you guess what it was?
I was smoking the cigar.
I'm afraid not. It had the brick.
Oh! Wow.
And that is Steve Smith's famous brick joke, friends.
Oh my god.
Well done.
Little subversion. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Browning.
Well, thank you all for taking the time to celebrate a wonderful man.
Now for an interview with Miss Boland.
I am sure everybody has already said talked about Mr. Smith and his puns. There are certain things you could say to him, and you knew that that would start off a whole string of puns. There were some that I know he used over and over again, but I could never remember them to use over and over again. And it would always end in something like, "That's the last punishment," or "That's enough punishment for you," I think he would say. So that's one of the many memories I have about Mr. Smith. As you all know, he was very generous with his time and would do anything to help out a student or a teacher at Gov School. His humor was always appreciated.
Now for an interview with Mr. Taylor.
I guess I'll ask you the same like two questions I asked everyone else. How long have you known Mr. Smith?
Well, let's see. I got here in fall of 2017, so Mr. Smith and I worked together for 8 years. Ironically, when I came to interview for the position that I took, Mr. Smith happened to be, like normal, Mr. Smith was literally the only person that was in the school the day that I came in to tour the building for the first time. He was... For some reason, I recall it maybe being during spring break or something. Mm-hmm. So I came into the building to tour and do a second interview here, and no kids were here. So it was Mr. Smith with his traditional summer shorts and T-shirt on. He was standing at the copy machine putting in colored paper like he normally does, getting ready for kids to return after spring break. So he was actually... other than the teachers that I knew here before I came, he was the first person that I actually met on staff.
That's so cute. That kind of leads into my next question. What was your first impression of Mr. Smith?
That's such a loaded question. I didn't know how to... I wasn't sure if I was supposed to take this guy seriously or not because he's standing at the copy machine in shorts and a T-shirt, unbeknownst to me. Well, I guess it was beknownst to me that it was, in fact, spring break. While there's no kids in the building, he's literally the only person here. So I was like, well, this guy must really take his job seriously and really enjoy and like what he does. And that certainly came to fruition over the last 8 years that I got to know him a lot better.
Do you have any like little fun stories, little habits about Mr. Smith you want to share?
Oh, I got plenty of stories I can share about Mr. Smith, but in lieu of time, I'll keep it down to two. First, behind my desk right now, because Mr. Smith was always good for a quick pun, and he would always be very, very quick to come tell me the pun or the joke of the day. And he provided me a piece of paper, and at the bottom of it, it was like one of those little like announcement papers that you'll see like on a board somewhere where you can peel it off and take a number, like a contact piece of information where you just grab one and keep it for yourself. Well, the title of this paper says Terrible Pun. Terrible, T-E-A-R-A-B-L-E, like terrible, like you can tear it off. And each little slip of paper behind my desk has a pun on it that you can tear off. Aww. And has a different Smithism, if you will, of a pun. So I have never tore one of those off, but they are still taped to the wall right behind my desk. So those will stay there for a while. And then I guess the second, it's not really a story, but it's more of a comment on Mr. Smith and I's relationship over the last couple of years, particularly this year. I've often told people, and I told his wife and daughter this a couple weeks ago, that Mr. Smith and I would typically have about three different, very different conversations a day. So we would make a point to cross each other's paths. And most of the time it was Mr. Smith coming down to my room at various times of the day, but they were always consistent times of the day. The first interaction of the day was to come down and tell me about 8:20, 8:15 in the morning, "Taylor, did you hear the joke of the day yesterday?" He was, of course, referencing the joke of the day that comes on the radio, on WFIR radio, every afternoon at about 5:20 p.m. He would intentionally wait in his car every single day to hear the joke of the day so that he could remember it to tell as many people as he possibly could the next day. So my first interaction with him at 8:15 or 8:20 in the morning was the joke of the day that preceded on the radio. Then the second interaction was right after the AM session ended at 11 AM, and he would come down on his way down to the workroom, and we would talk about football of the week, particularly the Redskins or the Commanders and the Pittsburgh Steelers, to which he was a fan of both of those teams, him hailing from Pennsylvania originally and then moving to the D.C. area and then eventually to Roanoke where he landed this job. But he was a Commanders and Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so we would catch up on the football of the week particularly because the Commanders had a pretty good season, and Pittsburgh has consistently been a pretty good football team, so we'd always have something to talk about. And then our third and final interaction of the day was probably the most significant for us. That was right before the PM session started, or it was at the end of the day. It just depended on the timing, and we would talk about everything else but sports, school, and jokes, and it was a more pointed conversation about our faith, Christianity, and then any other news of the day that might have been, whether it be politically related, news that was happening around the world, our thoughts on the current political climate, because we shared, we had commonality mm-hmm. in our faith and in our beliefs outside of the world, and we would take time to discuss that. And if it was ever a situation where he and I exchanged books over the last several years, where he would bring me a book, like we would be talking about American history or the American Revolution, he's like, I got a book for you, and he'd bring it to me, and I'd read it, and then we'd talk about it. And I currently have two books of his, one in my bag and one in my nightstand right now for Mr. Smith that I'm getting through. They're the last two that he gave me, so I'm working my way through those, and sadly we won't get the opportunity to talk about those, but I will certainly I'll certainly be reading them.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, this went a little longer than I thought, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay, I can be late.
Don't worry, I'll write you a pass.
Now for a closing statement made by RVGS student Anissa.
Well, there was like this one time that was really funny, and like he used to like always joke around with us every single time in the morning. And there was this time that he, for 2 weeks straight, would try and like scare us behind the door. And like we could see him in the corner of the door, and so like we wouldn't get scared. But and then one day I just kind of like decided, you know, let's give him what he wants. And so I acted like I was scared, and he was like so happy. And I just like warmed my heart.
So cute. That sounds exactly like Miss Smith. Okay.
Now for some closing statements made by RVGS students Sophia and Parneet.
The thing that I liked the most about Mr. Smith as a person was he was so passionate about like all of his students learning. Like, he was a researcher before he was a teacher at Gov School, and I just think it was so cool of him to, like, leave that to, like, come teach students and, like, search for meaning. Like, he definitely had a big impact on his community. So that's definitely the best part about me.
Yeah, I heard at his funeral that he said being at Gov School, like, being a teacher at Gov School was his dream job, so I'm really happy he accomplished that, and I'm really happy that he never let his love for chemistry and especially explosions dwindle as he became a teacher. He always kept that part of himself. Yeah, I really love Demo Day. I don't think any other teacher has an experience quite like Demo Day.
Yeah, so Mr. Smith, like, you would ask him what's going to be on a quiz or test, and he would be like, oh, it's going to be on paper. And I just remember that being like one of his jokes that he would often say. So I thought that was funny.